Good evening and welcome to Around Cincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito, and we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to be talking with the group Silk and Suede about their latest recording, This Is What Love Looks Like. Silk and Suede, comprised of music veteran Stan Hertzman and vocalist Nancy Egan. Nancy Egan is a native of Toronto and has been writing songs for most of her life and is a great singer as well. Stan Hertzman is a Cincinnati music legend and has been in the biz since the 1960s, as Stan is smiling from ear to ear as we talk about his sordid past, which includes music management, artist booking, publishing companies, people like Adrian Belew, The Raisins, Roger Troutman from Zapp, and doing business with Cyndi Lauper, Nine Inch Nails, Paul Simon. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
I tell you, when I listened to this record, This Is What Love Looks Like, I was blown away at how emotional this really is, the content of these original compositions. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this recording came about, your writing process, and what life looks like now that you have a recording out?
Well, I'll start it off, and then Nancy can interrupt me, as she usually does. And I just put our duo together to play some gigs. I'd been playing for at Awakenings, and then before that with another partner down at Four Seasons Marina for 5 years. For the last 10 years, been playing music out and having a ball with it. And I met Nancy, and I said, hey, you want to take this on the road? And she said, yeah. Well, about a year after we started playing gigs, she said, can we do some originals? And I'm going, no, not really. I don't really want to. I've done that, been there. Anyway, she said, okay. I said, what do you have? And she brought in a song. And you want to talk about that song?
Sure, yeah. 9 o'clock Somewhere was the first original that I came up with. And I had recently lost my father and was just having feelings of missing him and came up with the idea of a song that was inspired by the 5 o'clock Somewhere t-shirt. Well, if it's 5 o'clock Somewhere, you can have your martini. So I thought, well, what if it were 9 o'clock Somewhere and you could imagine yourself just being with someone that you miss? So that was the impetus of the song, and we went from there.
So that kind of got me going. I became a believer that she had some writing to get out. And then I had written stuff back in the day in the 60s, kept writing stuff all through the time I was in the music business, but they were always just vanity writing. You know, I come up with progressions and the lyrics never got settled down because I really wasn't trying to write for anybody, but the music couldn't stop. So I thought, okay, we can maybe make this work. And that's what this record is. And this is a very emotional relationship that Silky and I have. The connection we had the minute we started doing our music together was the kind that you always hope for. We tried things. We found new ways to do things because of our, what's called our advantages and disadvantages. We learned how to sort them out to what we were each good at. And these songs are not, they're not just pulled out of the sky. There's us in these songs all the way down the line.
Nancy, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, when you write music, when you write a song, it's pretty scary, because you're putting yourself out there for the world to judge you.
Right.
And it really is an act of hope, I think, to have those words and the lyrics and the way you sing them, the way you arrange them, everything out there. And Stan is right. We had this connection right away, this joy of making music together. It was really a scary thing for me. I'd never performed before. And so we had this trust. So I think when you have that trust in a partnership, and then you can just let the emotions fly. And I think that's the result is just very cathartic for us and very joyful. I think that comes through. Yeah, it's purely Silk and Suede.
We did this record in a cabin in the Hocking Hills. Mm-hmm. We recorded it. I wanted us to have the experience that I fortunately had to have with a lot of other people years ago when you actually went somewhere. I can think of Adrian's first album. We went to the Bahamas, Nassau. We were there for a month at Compass Point, which is a fairly notorious studio.
Yeah, sure. That's a great studio.
Living on the beach. in a set of houses in whatever, a complex called Press On Regardless. We made this record. But when you do that, it's immersing yourself in it. Well, we didn't have the luxury of going to Compass Point, so forth and so forth. This is a record, and mainly this record, and I don't take anything away from it, is our publishing demo. We'd like people to do these songs. Other people. Led Zeppelin said it, the song remains the same, or whoever said it, every title that thing. The songs don't change, the people who do them. Speaking of which, we did a cover song or two, mm-hmm. and the one, I don't know if you made a note or two about Chasing Cars, it's a wonderful song, and we did that song for a real specific reason.
I felt a very wonderful connection, I'm using that word again, connection with this song. I deeply felt the lyrics. I really understood, I think, what the writer was trying to say. And I brought the song in to Stan and said, you know, we really should cover this song. And we really struggled to come up with an arrangement that I think would pay homage to the emotionality of it, and just wasn't happening. And I remember after we had a rehearsal and it just didn't go anywhere, I went home and I just wrote about what I felt the song was about. And I sent the email to Stan. And I think just letting it sit for a while really helped us, and continuing to write our own music helped as well. And one day I said, okay, let's just try this really simple approach, and the complex emotions of it would just come out in the way we sang it.
I just love the way it worked out as a recording.
Hey, talking about the recording, why don't you tell us about some of the players that are with you on this recording?
Two of the guys that played with us up in the cabin are how I met Nancy. So it's...
Yeah, drummer Bobby Sharp.
Sure.
And guitarist and vocalist Dave Ridenour. And they were in a group, Souls of Orange. I had gotten to know these fellas, and they said, why don't you sit in with us? And I'd never done anything like that before. So I said, okay, sure. And I did a few times. And Stan came out one night to one of their gigs. I don't remember meeting him.
Yes, he said that in the liner.
It's really funny, but I do not. I don't know how you don't remember meeting Stan Hertzman.
I agree with that, right?
But I guess I had performance nerves that night. So anyway, we did meet, and Bobby said, you really ought to perform with Stan. He has this Big Fish and Friends gig at Awakenings. And so I did, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, it went well. Yeah, the first one went pretty well. Yeah. Second one went fantastic. And that's when I said, let's take this on the road. She thought I was joking.
I did.
Yeah, right.
So here we are. This is the road so far.
Well, hey, I want to thank both of you for coming in this evening and spending time talking about your new recording, Silk and Suede. This is What Love Looks Like. Stan Hertzman and Nancy Egan, it was a real pleasure to be with you tonight.
Likewise, Ron.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. For more about Silk and Suede, you can visit us on the web at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito.
We'll do it all. Everything. forget the word.